You know, Jason, last night, Stephen Vogt said something about how they're going to approach the final four games of this season. And I'll be honest with you, it got me pumped up a little bit because there are two choices. You've got the bye. You can go ahead and set everything up, rest guys, however you want to do it. Or you can try and push for the one seed until there's no chance or until you clinch it. Here's where Vogt stands.
No, we want to win. We want to win every game. And, you know, we might give guys a day or we might do something like that. But for us, it's like we have all year. We're going to play everybody and we're going to continue to work because we have four more opportunities to get better going into the postseason.
Do you love that as much as I love that?
100%. I think that's the best reaction that you can have from a manager. Even though, you know, with him being over here for the first time as the Guards manager, you want to play for somebody like that. They're going for the gusto. You have to stay on the throttle. You want to go deep in the playoffs in October. You have to make sure that you stay there.
Well, and I think to me, you know, like we've started compare and contrast Tito and Vogt. I think Vogt's style of baseball, although it comes with risks, which is burnout like we saw in August, or if you're trying to make up for one segment of the team like the rotation, you can throw your team out of whack trying to win every single game. I think it's lit Cleveland on fire. Like, I really do think, like, Tito's style made a lot of sense. It's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. But I think that hurt Guardians' interest in a way, because I think fans bought into the, well, it's just one out of 162. I think this year you saw people more engaged, not just because at one point they were winning at like an 800 clip, but because also I think people saw the sense of urgency from the team and responded to that. Now, that to me, like that gets me going.
It really does. And I think when you look at this team right now, they don't have a lot of superstars, but they have a manager that they believe in. You have a pitching coach that's he's really pushed the right buttons with that rotation. And then you have the best bullpen in baseball right now.
Well, I wanted to ask you, because I see so many differences. Like, the Guardians have pushed. They're very similar guys. You know, that's why we loved Steven. And I think sensibility-wise, the ability to talk to anybody is a huge commonality. I see so many differences between Stephen Vogt and Tito. Do you kind of see that as well?
I do. I think when you look at the lineup, yes, you have your everyday lineup. You know who's going to be out there every day. But what Stephen has been able to do and push the right buttons with that lineup, it's a new player every night. And I think the kicker, too, you have a Jose Ramirez that is MVP caliber again. I mean, you love this guy. You love the caliber that he goes. You love the energy that he brings every night. But Josh Naylor, he has not been talked enough about this season. Mm-hmm. And you look at his numbers when it's all said and done, he's put up great numbers this year.
Yeah, well, and Kwan at one point hitting for 400. So to me, it's so funny. I never had a quibble. And I think the way Tito does things, there's a reason he's a Hall of Famer and won two World Series, been to three World Series. This is not, I didn't know how much I liked aggressive in-game managers until we got to Vogt. Like, because with Tito was more, I'm not going to act until I absolutely have to.
Well, I think you're seeing, you know, the differences, though. You have a young manager that's learning his ways and learning and understanding kind of on the fly. And then you look back at Tito, the way that he, you know, transcribed and grew from Boston over here. And I think the best thing for what the Guardians have right now is a young manager that's eager to show what he's capable of doing, and he's done that.
So I think the big thing with Vogt is, and this to me is now the next big challenge. Like, I thought when those first 80 games, when they were just kicking the crap out of everybody, yes, there were things that were new to him, but it's not as big of a challenge as when you struggle. Well, that first big challenge was post-All-Star break. When you're making the same moves and none of them work, do you keep being aggressive? Do you know, like, how much do you change? And he did help, I think, manage their way out of their problems. So he's already had the first big test. I think the next one is how do you make the layoff not hurt you? Because that's the only downside to clinching a top two spot.
And that's going to be the hardest thing that we look at too moving forward. The season ends on Sunday. You go through the wild card playoff side of it, you know, early on. And it's lining up your starting rotation. It's lining up and making sure that your bullpen is healthy. But at the same time, you don't want to lose that edge. And I think you look back at last year, the Diamondbacks had that edge. The Rangers had that edge because they continued to play.
So I think a lot of people have pointed out the benefit of the wild card teams and having to play there. We actually had a caller in the 6 o'clock hour, a Buddy Slater, say that do you try and get the third spot? So you have to play. Dude, no. The less baseball you have to play on your path to a championship, that's the right goal. It's like reverse engineering the problem. The problem is just, how do you stay sharp? Do you agree, by the way, about it? We'll take the two seed and we'll figure that out from there?
I'm going to take the two seed all day long, and I'm going to do exactly what Steven is doing right now and try to win to get the one seed as well.
Yeah.
You know, because you want to keep that momentum going. And if you have a couple days rest, yes, it's nice to have that. These guys are big league professional players. They know how to get themselves ready every day. I think looking at it, having home field advantage and having that crowd behind them, we all know what it's like playoff baseball in Cleveland.
Well, here's the other thing. I know why they do it. I hate the 3-game wild card round. I do. I don't know how that's fair to a team that actually wins their division. For their fate, 162 games for them comes down to 3 games.
No, it really does. And that's the difficult part too, right? You look at it and you say, okay, you're a division champ, but at the same time, oh, by the way, you only get to play 3 games max, and hopefully you can pull it out. Now, it's nice that you have 2 games at home, but it's not the same. If the wild card went to those extra 2 games, not a big deal. Go to a 5-game series. Give the division champ a chance to win the way they're supposed to.
Well, and it's just 3-game series. They're so fluky. And here's the thing. You don't realize it in the way the baseball schedule is set up in the regular season because you're always on to the next schedule or you're always on to the next series. It really is highlighted how finicky those things are in October because it's a bad game. It's a bad inning. And so it's funny, like, because everything with this is another catch-22. The catch-22 is, well, you're going to further penalize the 1 and 2 seed because if you add those extra 2 games. I'm sorry, you can get 5 games done in 5 days. And I just think you have to be more fungible with the schedule itself. But I don't think that should be a reason you shouldn't push this to 5 games and give those wild card teams and that extra division winner a chance to really win.
Yeah, if it goes 5 games, go 5 days in a row. Don't give anybody days off. And the thing I look at too, if you're a wild card team right now and you're facing that division champ, that number 3 seed, you're the visiting team right off the get. You have all the momentum that I look at. It's nice that you're at home as the division champ. But that wild card, you have the mojo to go out and score right off the get and take the crowd out of it immediately.
What's wild is how you and I are in lockstep. Take the top 2 seed and we'll talk about it there. And I really love that they're going to push for the 1 seed. Your window's small here. Your window is you've got to win the next 4 games and you got to hope now that the Yankees lost last night, you got to hope they lose 3 of the next 5 games. Sorry, I don't know why I was trying to do math in real time. That's not my strong suit. I didn't go to Bowling Green to play math. I did it to drink a lot and chase women. And I did it very well. I majored in that. I flunked out. With that being said, I do think, like, you know, if you can get that 1 seed, there's a part of me that I probably would feel this way no matter who the other seed was. I want the Yankees to have to go through the Astros in that ALDS. If things go to chalk, because I don't think the Yankees can do it. I think your best hope is the Astros take out the Yankees, and maybe you get some momentum going into the ALCS against the Astros.
Yeah, that would be a huge series. And I think when you look at it, these last 4 or 5 games in the regular season are going to make or break some of these teams. You know, the Astros, yeah, they clinched the 3 seed, so they know what they've got in hand out in front of them. The Yankees, they're not playing their best baseball right now, but they're also very aware of what October baseball is like. Mm-hmm. And that's the scary side of it, too, is that you have the thump in that lineup that could carry you deep into the playoffs. And then you have the Guardians. You know, nobody really looks at the Guardians and says, oh, that's a World Series caliber team right now. You know, they're in the middle of the pack right now with fan betting or odds betting right now. They're in the middle of it.
Well, and it's funny. They are kind of right where I want them to be. Because I think August took some of the steam out of the hype for this team. I think you've played, you're now 11-7 in your last 18 games. So you're actually playing really good baseball, but you're not playing Tigers level baseball where it seems like, I think they're playing like 800 ball in their last 10 games. You're not where the Mets are. So you kind of sneak into that second round bye. And so this is where the great challenge for Vogt is. I know when it comes to getting up for a game, I know he's going to have him there. And he's so great about this is what we're doing today. But the challenge is not, I think his style is perfect for postseason baseball. I love aggressive managers in the postseason, right? Bruce Bochy managed the Rangers' way to a World Series last year. So I love this. The biggest challenge is those 5 days, those 7 days. However long the layoff is, that is my fear. Not my fear, but that is to me the greatest unknown.
Yeah, that's going to be the tough challenge right now is keeping your guys locked in, keeping them intense, making sure that they stay on pace to be able to pull off that first game or second game win that they're going to need.
All right, so we do have a few updates here from Mandy Bell, who just tweeted these out, at MandyBell02. Maybe the most important thing, Stephen Kwan has been activated from the IL. Have mercy, he's back. Miles Straw, also have mercy, sorry, that's mean and vindictive, has been optioned to AAA, and the Guardians also have redone their lineup here. They've got Walters is going to open up a bullpen game today against the Reds. Cantillo's going to pitch on Friday, Ben Lively on Saturday, and then on Sunday they're going to go an opener in Gavin Williams. And what's interesting about this is, I think Gavin's been too inconsistent to have in the postseason rotation. I think Gavin is a guy that is like coming in the third inning or the fourth inning that might be able to give you five innings at a time or even just two innings at a time. Could be a secret weapon because his stuff is filthy even though he's not 100%.
So Gavin's stuff is very electric. You have a big country boy from the right side bringing just gas. I mean, absolute hoss. And when you look at the playoffs, the way that they're lining up, and I like what Voth is doing right here in lining things up, knowing what they have in front of them.
Well, here's the other thing. They're not really punting any of these games. You can beat the Reds with a bullpen game. No offense to the Reds, by the way. And even this weekend against the Astros, like, as long as Cantillo's pitching, even if it's as an opener, as long as Gavin is pitching, even if it's as, you know, kind of a bulk inning guy in the middle of the game, like, I don't think those are punt moves. I think they're, well, let's start to kind of figure out how we're going to position this rotation while still giving us a chance to try and take that one seed. 216-474-0092. Stephen Vogt says they're going to be pedal to the metal to the end of the season here. Is that the right way to take it? If you're the Cleveland Guardians,